This episode is brought to you by CBS All Access. If you don't already subscribe to CBS All Access, please use our affiliate link by going to talkthroughmedia.com/CBS. Using our affiliate link gives us a little credit, which helps us to keep bringing you great content. U.S. residents only. Hello, and welcome to episode one of the Star Trek Lower Decks podcast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
And we're calling it that because we don't know what else to call it. trying to separate it from both Picard and Discovery. But we're not putting it on its own feed. So just, you know, make it confusing, but
make it simple. Bottom,
yeah, no, simple, essentially. So wherever you've listened to Picard or Discovery, you're going to get the Lower Decks episodes. So, but anyway, we will be covering tonight season one, episode one of Star Trek Lower Decks, titled Second Contact. Now, we released in the feed, actually, like 20 hours ago, roughly, something like that. The Patreon episode from last week, we recorded on August 1st. But if you didn't listen to that, what you may be wondering is, where the heck is Ruthie? Well, Ruthie has basically decided, and if you are still confused, Ruthie's decided not to cover the show. And if you're still confused by this, go back and listen to episode 47 of the Star Trek Discovery podcast, and you will hear her spend, I don't know, an hour just saying, why the hell am I watching cartoons? So, in fact, what she said last night to us, she said, good luck podcasting about a cartoon, you guys. Those were her exact words, and I took it from the chat window. So instead, my good friend and then Ruthie's longtime friend, Kyle McAdams, yep, who is my co-host on The Walking Dead Talk Through, has very happily joined me to cover Lower Decks. So if you don't know Kyle, let's just give you a minute or two to get to know Kyle.
Well, for one, I mean, I came into this. Ruthie has been basically, I grew up with her. We've known each other our whole entire lives. Grew up in the same town, with the same church, family, knows everybody, this and that. And then I joined you guys in season three for Fear the Walking Dead.
Right.
And Ruthie wanted to move on, and I, you know, wanted, you know, was helping, you know, to kind of like do a little bit of co-hosting this and that, but then ended up taking over for Fear and then joining you later, like, you know, here and there for The Walking Dead. So,
yeah,
I mean, I'm just, I don't know what else you want to know. It's like,
well, that's basically it. But you've been a long time Star Trek fan. I mean, on the,
yes,
you guys may have heard the Let's Talk Through episode, the only one we've actually done, but those guys talked about Star Trek, and I remember you said about, what was it, going to your first con when you were when you were like, what, nine or something like that? Really young.
I don't know exactly what. I was very, very young.
Yeah. So yeah, he's a longtime fan, and I am very glad to have him with me on this journey, because we're good friends after all we've been through. No, but it's been fun podcasting with Kyle, and he's a big part of Talk Through Media. So so anyway, we were gonna have fun here. So this episode, as previously mentioned, is called Second Contact. It is written by the showrunner, Mike Mahan, I think that's how you say it, directed by Barry J. Kelly. And if you haven't seen it, both of those guys are on an episode of The Ready Room this week with, what's his name? Will Wheaton. I was going to say Wesley Crusher. But yeah, both of those guys were on there. So I think Barry Kelly is the guy that is like in charge of the animation. And of course, Mike Mahan is in charge of the writing. The description from CBS.com says, series premiere. Ensign Tendi has her first day of work on Starfleet's USS Cerritos, where she meets fellow support crew members Ensigns Mariner, Boimler, and Rutherford. Meanwhile, Boimler is tasked with a secret special assignment, and Rutherford attempts to keep his dating life intact while a sci-fi disaster strikes the ship. Written,
sci-fi.
Yeah, TV-14 with language and violence, and the air date is August 5th, 2020, and it's always worth saying, I thought it was supposed to be August 6th. What they've been doing actually since Picard, they started releasing the episodes like roughly just after 11 Pacific time, 11 p.m. Pacific time. So technically it was released at 11:06 p.m. Pacific time on August 5th. So, you know, in my time zone, in Kyle's time zone, it was after midnight, but Pacific time. It's August 5th. And with a runtime of 26 minutes and 12 seconds. And we've got that one category we talk about, spot the 47. There weren't really any 47s that were that visible. I know that there is one when you see there's like a pad that you see at one point, at least in the trailer, where there are a couple of 47s in there. But actually, more interesting are the references to TNG and TOS in this episode. So we'll like just pepper them in as the episode goes. So we kind of don't agree on this episode. So why don't we just get into it? What'd you think of this?
My first watch, I mean, I do have to admit, I was a little tipsy on some Romulan ale. So I started off at a 3 suckling spider cows. But the second time I watched it, like, I did enjoy it a lot more, but I still have kind of this style and there's some differences. But I'll start off with like giving it a 5 warp core detonations. So I'm going to be in the middle of the road.
Yeah, detonate the warp core. I like this one a lot more than you did. I wouldn't give it a 10 because there's a couple little things I'm kind of curious about. But at least for a first episode, I really liked it a lot. It was a lot more faithful to especially TNG, and we'll get more into that as we go, than I was expecting. Like, it really is faithful to the Next Generation. So I know that there's probably going to be some of you, especially from international markets, that are just kind of curious what we thought of it and maybe might check out like after we give our ratings. But I ended up giving it 9 purple pig people. And yeah, so that the aliens in this episode were they were kind of childish animated things, but they were purple pig people. I think there was kind of an honor to the animated series because they had a lot of like pinks and purples in that show. So anyway, so we got a couple of ratings from listeners. Wes from Minnesota, he says, I loved it. It was funny and witty and definitely Star Trek. I rank it 9 Ensign Boimlers covered in pink slime out of 10.
Awesome. LT from NC, he gave it saying, I'm giving this episode of Lower Decks an 8.5 out of 10 crates of shore leave contraband.
All right. So let's go into our yeses.
Yes.
And for this show, I figure we're just going to use our Picard yes, no's, and not good enoughs, since they're all appropriate, unless and until we get something better from the show itself. But we only got yeses from LT from NC, so I'll just go ahead and read them. He says, I like the idea of having a second contact team. I mean, someone has to do all the less exciting things. I will say this has always been something that I've been curious of, because I figured that how does a world get into the Federation? You know, like, it's not just, you know, they have first contact and like surprise they're in the Federation. Yeah. There's got to be, you know, some other work that has to get done. So
yeah,
I'm happy to see this kind of stuff. I laughed a lot about the hot banana spitting out of the replicator. Malfunctioning food replicators make me laugh. Rutherford's Vulcan implant. The idea that you can just tell your date, my implant is suppressing my emotional response. Yeah, to that, one thing I was kind of confused about with that is, did Rutherford get that implant electively, or did he need it for some reason? Like, did he have, you know, some kind of, I don't know, brain defect, or like something happened to him that he required it? That wasn't really explained. Maybe it'll be explained. One thing I did notice was, and I've got it in later in the notes, but I'll mention it now. I did notice another crewman had a Geordi LaForge-like visor.
Oh, yeah.
When Tendi came aboard the ship, one of the other ensigns had a visor on. But yeah, I'm not really sure about what it does, or for that matter, if it's a visual acuity piece, which it seems to be, based on the one thing, it's almost like Borg-like almost. Why does it suppress emotions too? Like, so is that just because it's Vulcan? Is that just because it's Vulcan? Or did he have like emotional issues that he needed more Vulcan, you know? It's like, anyway, maybe it explains the whole mind meld thing that was in Picard. I don't know. I'm searching for meaning in more than just this show, people. Where's my rim shot? Rutherford ruining his date because of being distracted by work. It made me laugh. Yeah, I've got something to say about that later. The way they turned the alien virus made everyone into zombies on the ship. Come on, we always wondered what everyone else on the ship was doing during amok time. All right, so that's it for listener yeses that we got. So what do you have for yeses?
Well, I mean, a lot of it was just, there was the one part where Ensign Bolomir was, Mariner was like asking him like, oh, how many plants have you been to? And it was just kind of like that whole, just the whole exchange. He's like, well, he's like five. He's like, if you include Vulcan. And then she turns around and was just like, we can't count Vulcan. It's like, you might as well count Earth. And then he said something that's like, I was. So I don't know. It was just that exchange I thought was really, really funny. And
yeah,
it's like, clever, you know, fun. Cause yeah, of course, Vulcan is basically our first contact.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, Earth and Vulcan, that'd be funny, like whatever. But yeah, it's like, you wouldn't count that as being like an actual planet. And I guess, like, you know, with all the references to the, which we'll go in later, because I know you started going through the list, and I was having a hard time with CBS All Access today. But all the Trek references, it was like there were space whales, there was Spock coming back from the dead. And we'll get into that later. But yeah, I enjoyed the show the second time, and I'll get into it later. But like, this definitely is kind of like out of my comfort zone. I don't know if that's the right way to call it, because it's a different style of entertainment that I'm just not quite really used to, but I say more later.
Must be something about something in the water in Oklahoma with you and Ruthie, because obviously although you were much more open to it than she was.
I don't know if it's necessarily like something in the water per
Ruthie,
se.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to. You know I love you. So
I just think it's just kind of a difference of like, like this style of comedy is not quite my forte. And I think with being in the Trek universe, it was like my expectation was completely different. But I mean, we can go into it later, because there's a lot of.
I don't know. Maybe. In my case, like I said in the Patreon, my, in a lot of ways, my first like actual live Star Trek was the animated series. I did see the original series, of course, in syndication, both before the animated series and after. I remember wondering for like a year, how come Star Trek hasn't come back on Saturday morning? I couldn't figure it out, you know. And then I heard, like, I read at some point later that it had been canceled. I'm like, canceled? And this is like, you know, 8 year old me wondering these things. But yeah, so maybe I'm a little more open to it because I was exposed to it when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. It could be that. It could be that a certain, like, I was of a certain age when, like, The Simpsons and stuff like that came on board versus you guys are a little younger. So it just may have been a slight, there's not much of a generation gap between us, but there may be like a little, you know, window of bias there between you guys and me. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway. Anyway, so I had quite a few things that I brought up in my, and most of them have to do with how it honored, especially TNG, Voyager secondarily, but definitely TNG. I just, you know, I love The Next Generation. I think in a lot of ways, it really saved me at a time when I was really depressed and got me into writing. You know, I eventually sold a story to Star Trek, you know, and it was all because of me getting into The Next Generation. No, I didn't sell one to Next Generation, but I almost did. So Next Generation is very near and dear to my heart. And I can start even with the titles in the show. It's basically using the same font that TNG used, even to the point where the font is a little blurry. Because the font, if you look at it today, when you watch Next Gen, like, you know, in 1080p on Netflix or CBS All Access or whatever streaming service you're using, it looks a little blurry. So it's kind of funny to see it a little blurry. And the theme for the show, it's very TNG sounding, at least at the start of it. And I also loved how, although it's very, you know, the theme itself is very TNG-like, what we see the ship do is very Voyager-like. And it made me think of, I said, I love how it's kind of like a more chicken version of Voyager or an incompetent Voyager. Because you see, you know, it's like going through an ice, you know, like a comet thing. And instead of Tom Paris, you know, he pilots it to get through the comet. But of course, on the Cerritos, they hit the comet. So that was funny. Overall, I thought that the look of TNG, right from the Elcars to the looks of the starbase, the shuttles, other starships that we see in the starbase, and even
the holodeck.
Yeah, the holodeck, even the Cerritos itself, looked like it came from the TNG Voyager Nemesis era. Although I think that the struts, you know, that go from the main saucer section to the nacelles are a little weird, but otherwise that's the only part that I kind of go, huh? But, Cetacean Ops was mentioned. And, this is mentioned first in the famous TNG episode, one of my favorites, one of the best episodes of TNG, Yesterday's Enterprise. And it's heard in the background, but it makes you think that there are whales or, you know, some aquatic creature that is like running things in the ship that we never see. and I'm really hoping, you know, because obviously something like that would cost a lot of money. This would be the perfect venue to show Cetacean Ops. So I'm kind of hoping that we do. So overall, you know, it is a different thing to look at, you know. But overall, I thought that it was very, not perfectly, but very, it honored the Next Gen, even more than I thought it would. And that was welcome. I thought, and I mentioned this on my TikTok, and I'll just say tiktok.com/@BrianMalosh. Get on there and join me, follow me, because I've been posting on there a lot, and I'll be posting a lot of Star Trek on there, including Lower Decks. That's really, I didn't expect that, and it was welcome when I saw all the Next Gen things. And it, to me, in the trailer, it was kind of pushed very comedically, and I think that that's only one aspect of the show. Yes, there were some pretty broad jokes, and of course, you know, we'll talk about the rage virus and all that stuff, and the bug that spits out Boimler. All that's true, but yet it's still, I think, very it honors TNG especially. So I enjoyed that. Okay, so that's it for our yeses. So let's move on to the noes.
No!
Well, we only got one no from our listeners, and that was from LT, from NC. He says, just one, Mariner is a female Tom Paris with sassier dialogue.
I like, after seeing his comment, I like, to me now I'm like, okay, yeah, I can totally see that. And it never crossed my mind, because there was just something about her just that was like, whether or not this is that, but it's like, after LT said this, I'm like, okay, that I totally can agree with that.
Well, like, it seems like, you know, she is a character that is bucking the, you know, obviously she has been groomed for command by her admiral father and her captain mother. And, you know, she's driving, especially the mother, crazy, because she, you know, is a free spirit and does her own thing and doesn't listen, but still seems to always be right. So there's that. But yeah, she is kind of a Tom Paris. And I don't know what to think about her being the daughter of the captain.
Yeah.
Because you would kind of think that people would know that. So,
but I don't. Right. Yeah. No, then it's like, and just even LT mentioning Tom Paris, it's like, okay, well, Tom Paris, you know, it was like his father is a, you know,
right,
commander or whatever. It's like, you know, and here it is, she's the daughter of the captain,
right? Daughter of the captain, and
yeah, and then
daughter of an admiral,
right? Daughter of an admiral, and they seem to be like pushing her back and forth to all like different ships or something like that, because she says she's like, I've served on 5 or 6 ships,
yeah,
done all this stuff, and it never dawned on me to think of anything like that, but it was just, I don't know, I like, as in the no, it's like, yeah, it's like, maybe that's what they were trying to go for, and will it actually work? Because I think she's not going to really be the same as Tom Paris in that sense. But I mean, it'll be interesting. But I just, that connection after yeah, that ending with the captain and the admiral talking to each other about their daughter who is on the ship.
Right.
It was like, okay, I get it.
And my thought with Tom Paris was, like, she is kind of intentionally doing her own thing, not listening, kind of trying to, it's like she's trying to buck what her parents are forcing her to do. And
or just Starfleet in general.
Or just Starfleet in general. But in the case of Tom Paris, I always thought he was just a screw up, had the potential, but screwed up. And something I can relate to. but anyway, so let's go into our no, since we didn't get any more from anybody else.
Oh, I guess I should start. the whole zombie space rage virus. I mean, I don't know. It just kind of threw me off, because it like, to me, that doesn't really feel very Trekkie.
No.
I mean, like, obviously I'm like, coming off from The Walking Dead, and obviously I do a podcast on The Walking Dead, it was just like seeing that, and I just felt like, oh, of course. Like, I don't know. It was just like they picked some random like current pop culture thing. And then it's like, oh, here we go. Zombie virus.
About
it's
6 like, years too late. But
yeah. But I mean, it was just the whole, like, I don't know, that threw me off completely. Cause I just like, that to me does not really fit in the, like, in the Trek universe. Yeah. Plus, like, we might have maybe seen something. I don't
Enterprise.
Know. That's the thing.
There was, well, there was but an it's episode like, of Enterprise where, I don't remember the name of it, but it,
yeah,
it was like, there were Vulcans that were kind of zombie-like.
Yeah. So I just, this was very Walking Dead-esque, and so yeah. It was just like, okay, whatever, you know.
I mean, for me, and it's worth saying, you know, both of us do that podcast, so
yeah.
and yeah, since I'm also missing The Walking Dead, especially considering how good the season was this year, I mean, we it ended for us with one episode to go because they couldn't, you know, finish whatever they needed to do. So very unfortunate that we're basically going to have to wait 6 months to get that final episode, but we've been missing it, especially considering if coronavirus hadn't happened, we not only would have probably seen all of the new show, The World Beyond, but we probably would have been covering Fear at this point.
Right.
And, you know, so like we would have been spending the summer covering zombies basically. So I was missing it. I liked the fact that it wasn't exactly like, you know, The Walking Dead. It was more like 28 days later, so that, you know, they could basically recover from it. So I liked it, and it was kind of crazy, you know, and I think this is the tendency it's going to be. It's like the thing that would be the A plot is going to be the B plot.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the, like, Data learns comedy, that's going to be an A plot here. Is that your only no?
I mean, I guess, and I think I probably might have put this in later
in
some of my feedback, but it's like, one of the things that I think what I had the hard time with, and maybe I'll just put a no in the sense of like, this is where I think I'm coming from, was like, this style is what is, it's really hard for me. Because it's like, it's so fast.
Okay.
Like the talking is so fast, the dialogue so fast. It's just like, everything's just happening so quick. And I'm like, I think I even wrote, like, it was just like, I felt like I'm like, I was like on speed.
Okay.
And it's just, everything's just happening so fast.
Yeah.
That it's just like, I can't really focus or pay attention, or you just like, you know, you miss it. But then when I rewatched it, it's like, you know, so I have my captions, you know, I'm able to like follow the dialogue and like focus on it. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's like, it's almost like to be able, at least for me, to enjoy it, to catch all these things, because they're so fast.
Yeah.
That it's like I have to actually like put energy and effort to like catch everything and do everything. And so it's like, there's a lot of shows that are like that mm-hmm. is just like, maybe it's like, the point is, it's just like how like, oh, crazy, this and that. Oh, here's the one word line, whatever. But for me, it's just like, I can't really, like, I can't follow it. And that detracts from it. But
yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. It is a different pace, but it is kind of like, you don't really see hour long animated shows, probably because they take so long to do, but also it's just not the pace of them. But yeah, I can understand that. For me, I thought a couple things. One's kind of nitpicky, but I thought that Rutherford seems too LaForge. I mean, even to the point where he's got like some kind of implant on him. Because, you know, even what he said seemed very LaForge-like to me. Because, I don't know, a lot of times Geordi, it was like a big joke how he would always screw up, you know, his dates with Christy Henshaw, or, you know, and then, you know, he meets Leah Brahms and, you know, how dare you? You know, I'm violated. Anyway, I think that character is a little too LaForge-like. And I do get the whole thing about Mariner and Paris. That I can see too. Boimler is almost like Wesley Crusher a little bit, but more more stuck up, or more not stuck up, more what's the word? It's like he's Wesley Crusher meets Data meets Barclay, I guess. So, but he's
actually kind of like Barclay.
Yeah,
that's actually a little
yeah, not quite as socially inept.
No, but like very like I'm following rules, and I'm like, and then also trying to like solve it, but within
and nervous and
dreaming, always dreaming of like, I'm doing my captain logs.
right. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And speaking of Rutherford, I thought it was just goofy that in the middle of a crisis, they're talking about, they're still on their date, talking about, oh, I've never played squash. And I just thought, oh, come on, that's just, I guess that's a, okay, Ruthie, cartoon thing to do. But I don't know. I didn't appreciate that. It seemed a little stupid. And the last thing, why Romulan whiskey? It's always been called, this is nitpicky. This is the nitpicky one. It's always been called Romulan ale. Now, perhaps they are trying to retcon this because the way Romulan whiskey has usually been used, it's used like whiskey. Not like ale, not like a beer.
Right.
So maybe that's why they called it whiskey. But I remember when I heard this, and I heard this in the, you know, the extended trailer. From Comic-Con, they had, you know, an extended scene from the show. And when I heard it at that point, I'm like, whiskey. And even, you know, last night when I watched, I'm like, whiskey, that's ale. And I, you know, it's the nitpicky part of me, the whiskey, it's
Romulan. Yeah. Well, I thought it was interesting though that she says like, oh, I thought it was green, but it's blue, or like whatever it was. Yeah. So it's like, maybe it's just kind of a play on like the lower decks don't really know because they're not usually able to get it. So maybe the thing that they thought it was is actually like the knockoff, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is maybe Romulan ale, and it, but it's green and not blue. And I thought it was just funny. It's like, yeah, I could probably see that the lower decks are just getting drunk all the time because no one's paying attention to them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, just minor things. All in all, you know, I thought it was good. Not perfect, but good. So, all right. So now for our not good enough section.
Not good enough, damn it. Not good enough.
And we didn't get any not goodness. So it looks like, yeah, part that you were going to say as a not good enough was you put as a no. So I guess I'm the only one that has not goodness. I'm not sure. I had four things down for not goodness, but two of them we've already kind of talked about, specifically the Mariner being the daughter of the captain and Rutherford's device and why is it controlling his emotional state. But a couple other things I also wanted to mention. I thought it was a pretty poor excuse to get naked, you know, which is like a whole like animation thing they do, you know, because they can get naked without getting naked. And I thought that it was kind of funny, but dumb for the purple pig people to have Southern accents. I definitely noticed that and had to say, come on, man, that's a little, I don't know, close to home, I guess you could say. But so that was it for our not good now. So let's move on to our feedback section, open hailing frequencies. Okay, so we only have one voicemail, and it's from, he calls himself X-Force 11, but it's Jeff. So here we go.
Hello, Star Trek fans. This is Jeff X-Force 11 leaving my feedback for STLD Second Contact. I thought this was a fun episode. It's a new spin on things with the comedy and the humor. It really reminds me of maybe a scenario. What if Paris and Kim had gotten placed on the Enterprise instead of Voyager and kind of seeing things through their eyes? It was kind of cool to see areas of a ship that we don't normally get to see. And answers questions like, how does a normal crew sleep? And things that go on that way, and attention-hogging senior staff. But I thought it was fun. I'm looking forward to see where this series takes us. It's different Trek, but it's definitely Trek, and I am looking forward to it. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 is out.
Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for your voicemail, and I'm pleased to say that you're going to get the full showcase because you're the only one that gave us a voicemail this week, so thank you so much. So, yeah, you made a couple of good points. Kim and Paris on the Enterprise. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and I agree with the whole, like, that's always been a thing, being a Trek fan, that when they had those episodes of like, oh, the crossovers? Lower Decks or just like, you know, like the not the senior staff, not the glitz and glam and all the glory. It's like all the, like, some of those episodes have been some of the best.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's fun to see this, even though it's a cartoon, it's kind of done differently. Maybe there's just a little things that, like, for me, kind of like don't always come off great, but it is like, that's one of the things that I've always wanted to see and love. It's just like when Ensign Tendi. She's all like, you know, getting the tour and they're like, oh yeah, this and that. And then she sees the back window, which is of course the back of the ship. And you just see like all the, like, you know, stars and like, they're going, you know, warp. She's like, amazing. You know, it's like that to me, it was like, that's the stuff that I like.
It's like, she's kind of like the character that is us, I think, in a lot of ways. Cause, you know, I think if one of us was on a Federation starship, we would see the window as they're going through warp and we would look like that. And wow, that's amazing. So, Yeah.
And then, I mean, the other part was just, the senior staff. It's like, again, it's like the thing that I think that is what's kind of, I'm wanting to see more of and what I'm trying to like enjoy about this is the fact that it isn't about the heads, you know, the captain and the bro, what's his name? Number one, Ransom.
Commander Ransom. Yeah.
Ransom. Yeah. You know, it's all like whatever. And I think there is even like, I put it in the notes, like the captain said to the doctor, like after they like solved everything and like, oh, the goo and this and that. It's like, oh, you can publish another award winning paper.
Yes.
It was just like, oh yeah. It's like, they're all into this like stupid stuff. Why the people that actually like had to deal, do something, were just like, oh, you're just the goo man.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, this person's of no importance at all, but the slime is going to save us all.
I say, protect the slime.
Protect the slime. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, good points, Jeff. Good to hear from you. And of course, you were one of the people on our Patreon call. So thank you so much for that. The last thing we got for feedback is from LT from NC. He says it was funny, but was not quite what the advertising department made me think it would be. It wasn't cartoon funny in a Ren and Stimpy way. It was funny more in a Venture Brothers kind of way to me. It wasn't a parody, but was more of a get a bunch of fans together and let them start making jokes to each other about the show way to me. I think, LT, those are very accurate and appropriate statements you're making there. I think that that is very true. It was pushed as kind of like a very jokey thing, almost like Family Guy or Rick and Morty, of course, you know, with Mike Behan, you know, coming from that. kind of expect it, but no, this is much more honors TNG, and the jokes are more appropriate to the situation. So it's not a laugh a minute, but there are some big laughs. And, you know, there were a couple of things that were on there that I was just like, okay, that's pretty funny. Like, I think I laughed out loud when he got like swallowed by the bug or whatever. And the bug was just like, you know, spitting him out.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
or protect the slime, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny too.
I think that's kind of one of the parts that I'm having a little bit of a resistance to, is because I was trying to be like, you know, I want to see this in a little tricky way, be funny, this and that. But the way that it's being done, it's a little bit like too fast. The dialogue's too fast. Like, I'm not catching things. And so it's like, the jokes, unless, you know, because the jokes are like would go over my head because I couldn't hear it or understand it, or it was too fast. Yeah. But when I go back to like rewatch it for, because obviously I'm doing a podcast on it, but there were some really like humorous and funny parts. So it's like,
yeah,
the captain was telling, I'm going to probably say his name wrong,
Boimler.
I'm going to always butcher that.
Well, I can understand why.
Yeah. But the captain says something. It's like, oh, so like how many like personal logs do you keep? And he's like, oh, 5. And she's like, that's excessive.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like we've seen that. Like, how many personal logs do we see in any given, like, you know, Star Trek TNG episode? Like,
yeah,
obviously many. But I mean, it was just like these like little bits of pieces that just like are really, really funny. But I almost kind of like, oh gosh, I have to like put so much work into like getting it and finding it to,
yeah,
because to me the pace is what's kind of hard to deal with,
especially in the cold open. The pace of that when they're horsing around in the corridor, mm-hmm, that was very fast paced, and a lot of like references to Worf and,
mm-hmm, Klingon honor
and all that stuff. That was all very fast, you know, and the whole Romulan whiskey also, that, like, there were 15 jokes in the span of 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So yeah, I sympathize with that sentiment there. And it's a different watch. I mean, I watched it a total of 3 times. I wanted to watch it another, you know, a couple of times, but the first time on my phone, and when I watched it on my phone, strangely enough, I picked up on just about everything. The second time when I watched it on the TV, it was much more of a casual watch than it was watching it on my phone. So I didn't pick up anywhere near as much. And then the third watch on my computer, which I did just before we recorded, was kind of in between. So I picked up a few things, wrote some notes down, but it was kind of in the middle. So I could see this show being one of those shows where it's like, if you're not really paying attention, you might, and it's a lot of people don't pay a lot of attention when they watch TV. So if you're one of those people, a lot of the stuff may go right over your head. But if you're, you know, especially if you're a TNG era fan, to me, I think there's a good chance, obviously not a 100% chance, Ruthie. No, but I mean, the same with you. You may not side on that, but I think there's a good chance that you'll enjoy this show. So I think a lot of it depends on your openness to animated shows. And I'm not a big animated show guy, but I have watched them and liked them, but they're not my real cup of tea. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have some other notes just from us. That's it from our feedback. So why don't you give what you got?
Well, I mean, we kind of talked some about, you know, it's like Mariner's the daughter of the captain and her father's the admiral. So it's just like, I guess it's kind of interesting because I guess they don't want her around or something, but I'm assuming that's going to be a story.
Yeah. It
seems to play out,
yeah,
like that. That will be whatever the arc is. This probably could have been just what we were talking about early, but I didn't catch it the first time, obviously, but the second time it's like the main engineering guy, you put it down there like Shax or whatever, which I didn't realize it.
I think security actually.
Oh, is he security?
I thought he was. I don't know. Maybe he's not. Maybe he is the engineer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, question. He is wearing a yellow.
Right. Well, uniform. He's either engineer or he's security.
Or sorry. But I mean, it's like, I guess regardless, you know, if he is, but it's like, but I didn't realize until you told me, he's like, oh yeah, he's Bajoran. And so that makes more sense of why he's always like, when he's asked about like, oh, so what do you recommend? It's like, oh, it's like detonate the entire warp core. And then the captain at the end was like, what? No. that little exchange was to me, I was like, that was really, really funny.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he's going to maybe get his chance to detonate the entire warp core.
Yeah. And so that was one thing we were struggling with. So I went and found a screen that had the bridge characters on it. So that character, whether he's security or engineering, is Lieutenant Shax.
Shax, yeah.
And that's played by Fred Tatasciore. And then Don Lewis, she plays Captain Freeman. And I couldn't, that was the thing. We had no idea what the names of these characters were. Like, we knew Mariner, right? But we didn't know, and we knew the four from Lower Decks, but we didn't know, like, is her name Captain Mariner? And if her name was Captain Mariner, why wouldn't they know that she was Ensign Mariner, you know, being the daughter? So that was why I had to check. And then this the doctor, who, if you don't realize, is Acacian. Acacian is something we briefly saw them in the movies, although they weren't like specifically identified as such, but they come from the animated series and they actually looked very similar to this doctor. But I think she's supposed to be like a Cajun version of Pulaski. So this, like, you know, kind of either love Pulaski or you hate her. But yeah, so we had to go back and look at it because it wasn't really that obvious. And I think like there was that other, whether he's engineering or security, there was like a Picard style bald guy.
Oh no, I thought he was like the doctor
with a mustache. Yeah, well,
like from Voyager, but like,
oh, okay, yeah,
yeah, like that's, yeah. Picardo is,
oh, okay, like. Well, anyway, that character, I don't think we got a name. So I know that there was another character, or like another actor that was announced as a recurring character, so that must be him, but I don't have that information down, but we can look that up for later or put it in the show notes.
Tendi was last seen pumping his heart.
Right.
So we didn't see him survive. Not that I know of.
But. Right. Yeah. So did you have anything else?
No, I just, like what you were saying, it's like we didn't know the names of the characters except like kind of from the pilot description.
Right.
But that was one of the things I was trying to get. And that's why I'll just have to say, I hate the CBS All Access when you're watching it from a web browser, because every time you pause it, it shrinks down to like the little mini window, and then pops up whatever other show they want you to watch. And so every time I'm trying to like catch the caption and write down, I click pause and it would just go away. And I'm like, it literally.
And to that, I want to say it's a good thing you said it in the way that you said it, because you reminded me of something. I went and watched the trailer a couple of days before the episode came out, and it has a thing about related shows, and I think it mentioned like Picard, which is obviously a related show, and it mentioned Discovery, which is, yes, it's a related show, but it's not the most related show. Like, what it should have had was Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, and Voyager, and for that matter, TOS and the animated series, especially. But it had Twilight Zone, and It had a bunch of other, I think it even had The Good Fight, like a bunch of shows that have no relation whatsoever to this show. And I just thought, like, come on, CBS All Access, you've got to get better at that. That's just like,
I did not understand at all why, like, I'm just trying to pause it. I've never had anything else that's just like, it pulls it away from you.
Yeah. That's what, like, it does. That's what it does. And it can even do that to an extent. I've seen it happen on the, like, mobile app or
on the I was wondering that because I was kind of like, okay.
Well, and the thing that
captions.
The thing that it also does is at the end, this is true for a lot of shows, but at the end, it shrinks the credits. And, you know, in a show like this, like, I want to read the credits. Like, I didn't go back and read, like, who did the music for this show? Was it Jeff Russo? Or was it somebody else? I didn't catch that. So that's something I want to check when I go back. So again, I'll probably put it in the blog post. But yeah, I didn't catch that. Were there anything else you had?
Nope, that was it.
Couple things that I already said. It's interesting that we have an Orion in Starfleet. So we obviously have Bajorans in Starfleet. Mm-hmm. We know that Bajorans became part of the Federation, like, by Picard's day they were, and we have seen Bajorans in Starfleet, so we don't know, did they become part of the Federation, you know, shortly after Deep Space Nine ended or not. But we get an Orion, and we haven't seen Orions, I don't think we ever saw Orions at all in Next Gen, or I think we might have heard them mention the Syndicate in Deep Space Nine. I don't know if we ever saw an Orion, and somebody's going to correct me, and, you know, that's fine. But I know we've seen him in Enterprise, we've seen him in TOS, and we've seen him in Discovery. I don't remember seeing them in Picard, but, well, we might have. And certainly there were. We might have seen him in Picard, actually. But anyway, so it was interesting that, you know, we see Orions, and it seems like Orions are like, they're almost like Ferengi, but they're like even more devious than Ferengi. But in this case, Ensign Tendi does not seem that way at all. I am curious if they've joined the Federation at this point. I thought it was interesting. /weird/ I sure certainly didn't expect that. Lower Decks ensigns don't even get their own quarters. Like, they basically have to bunk in along a corridor.
Yeah.
That's all they get. I don't know if that's ever been established, but okay. Sorry, guys. And you can see why they're not on an important ship. And what I mean specifically, like, obviously the senior staff think that they are so awesome, but, like, compare Commander Ransom, who's played by Jerry O'Connell, who doesn't sound like Jerry O'Connell. He's definitely playing a different voice than his normal voice.
Yeah.
I only knew that it was Jerry O'Connell, but I could not tell that it was Jerry O'Connell based on his voice. Like, if I didn't know it was him, I wouldn't think it was him. Anyway, compare him to Riker. And of course, the horrible episode Shades of Grey, you may recall, like, he gets, like, attacked by that sentient plant or whatever it is that gets him. And,
I forgot, yeah.
Yeah. And you know, the stupid thing where, you know, he gets, needles through his brain, and he goes through all these things, and, you know, it's a clip show. One of the most horrible, yet somewhat entertaining, if you go back, episodes. I somehow like it when I go back and watch it, but I know I hated it when I watched it the first time. Anyway, what did Riker do? He went to sick bay. Ransom, he's like, just whatever, it's fine. And Riker wouldn't do that. Riker would know to go to sick bay, as would any of the senior officers, or for that matter, even the officers that less senior would know, go to sick bay. You've been bitten by some strange alien bug, go to sickbay. And he didn't. So to me, that kind of, it's either like incompetence or lack of experience or whatever.
Yeah, I got the whole bro feeling from him and his, or the other guy that was like that looks like the Doctor of Voyager or whatever, whatever it is, like that whole little exchange, like, oh, let's go get a beer, blah, blah, blah.
It's the Cerritos is supposed to be a California class ship. And I think that's what it's
what you're getting.
It's experience with man by, California class bros.
goodness.
Or bra, as they say now. Yeah, so that made me think of that. And speaking of the California class, one thing I noticed. So it's the Cerritos, which is, I think it's a town in California. The shuttles, there was a Yosemite. There was another shuttle that I think I saw in the previews, a Redwood. So I think those are going to be like parks they're national parks in California.
Yeah.
So that's probably what we're going to see. So, and we may see, runabouts or something that'll be rivers in California. I don't know. We may see mountains in California or other cities. Anyway, interesting, I thought, to see that. I didn't catch this on first or second watch, only just a few minutes before we recorded. And I don't remember her name, but obviously an ensign that Rutherford is going on that date on is a Trill. So I did not see that. So another species that we see. The bug that we see reminded me a lot of the one that Spock, the old Spock, kind of saves young Kirk from in Star Trek 2009 movie. Remind me of that. The walk outside the ship reminded me of the walk in First Contact. Very similar to that. And I'm wondering if it is going to be a running joke about Shax wanting to detonate the warp core. And we got a few, and this could have been in my not goodness. I just listed here. There were some kind of like name dropping that, where they mentioned characters that we know and they weren't necessarily appropriate to the dialogue. It was just name dropping. Like, for example, Mariner mentions Spock and Sulu, which certainly go together. And then Gary Mitchell, but under what context, I don't know, but then goes into Deanna Troi. So, okay, if she mentioned Deanna Troi with Worf, say, which was, mentioned at the beginning, I could have seen that, but I don't see her mentioning Deanna Troi here. So, like, she could have mentioned Spock, segue into Picard for a minute, and then go into Troi, but they didn't do that. That seemed a little...
Yeah, it was like this weird... Like, because initially I kind of liked it in the sense I was like, oh, I'm recognizing things, whatever. But it was like kind of like she said something about space whales, about, Genesis and Khan.
Yes.
And it was like kind of going down the list of like, oh, let's hit all these names that people that are Trek fans will I heard that. That. Oh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
But it was just like the whole sloth of it.
Yeah, and Genesis. Yeah, it all. Yeah.
Yeah.
All that
but
stuff.
It's like, but then that's kind of the part. It's like, well, unless it had some kind of real tie other than the fact it was like, oh, they're talking about
that's
the history.
Yeah.
Other than that.
That's the point. It wasn't, I appreciated them naming them. I didn't appreciate or couldn't understand why they put them in that particular spot. I think doing that, name dropping in an appropriate place, I thought in the cold open was fine, although I don't think Romulan whiskey with Klingon blood wine would have been better than having Romulan whiskey with the Batleth. So, if you're going to put in your Star Trek references, put them in where they fit together. So, this is where the whole thing, about I could write a better Star Trek comes in. And, I've been saying, and Kyle, some of this, but like this the last 4.5 months have been difficult for me, and I'm kind of running into the point where it's like, it's time where I finally figure out why I've been put through so much and, you know, where I go from here. And it may come out at the end that I turn back to writing. I don't know. But I look at that stuff and I'm just like, dudes, this is what you need to do. Do. And, you know, like, it's like I see the answers so clear in my head. And I don't know. So maybe I'll do that. Maybe I'll write the screenplay that wins the Oscar that I can call my shots.
Yes. You know? Yes.
Yes.
Like that's this everything that we've been through in the last several months.
People
in the whole
told
world,
me
it's like this is the time of change.
Yeah, people told me in my 20s that's what they expected me to do. And when they saw me in my early 30s and I hadn't, they're like, what the hell? And you know, and then 40s and 50s, they've still said that. but you know, I kind of like look at it and go like, well, why can't I get that? So I don't know. But anyway, I'll probably still podcast until I die. So but anyway, okay. So that's pretty much our coverage of the show. We don't really have any major news. I'll just say here, for shipwide announcements, I mentioned it earlier. There was a Ready Room episode that went out Thursday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific, I think, that had Will Wheaton interviewing Mike Mahan and Barry J. Kelly talking about the episode and creating the universe and that. And it was pretty clear from, you know, we know Mike Mahan was very much a Star Trek fanatic, very much a TNG fanatic. This Barry J. Kelly, also definitely a big Star Trek Next Generation fan. I mean, it is clear from the things that he says in there. So check that out. That's you can see that on YouTube, Facebook, I think on Instagram and on StarTrek.com. So you should be able to see that anywhere. As far as there is another Ready Room that was put out shortly, maybe a few weeks before the San Diego Comic-Con, Virtual Con, or whatever, the SDCC Virtual Con, that you may have missed. And it was mostly dealing with Picard, and Patrick Stewart was on there. So check for that if you haven't seen that yet. Obviously, we talked about this on the Patreon, but the stuff from SDCC Virtual Con is out there. There's the 1 hour, 18 minute thing that Ruthie saw 3 minutes of. I'm sorry, Ruthie. I'm sorry. But you left me with a lot of material today. So anyway, so there's stuff from where they talk about Prodigy. Yeah. So Prodigy is the other 3D show. They named it. That was the name that was rumored. And they also talked about a little bit about Discovery, but I was like kind of disappointed. They didn't really say much about it, but they did like later that week, I should say the next week, coming out October 15th. I mentioned it on the Patreon, but I'm almost positive now that the reason why they didn't mention it is because they were waiting for Sonequa to have her baby. Because it makes perfect sense. Didn't want to say, oh, it's coming out then. And then, you know, there's a complication. So anyway, so there's that. There was a little bit of information about Strange New Worlds, which we didn't mention too much about in the Patreon call, but I guess they've broken out 10, the 10 stories for the season. They obviously haven't shot anything yet. Can't shoot it yet. And nothing about like Section 31. Who knows about that show? And what else? And there was Picard on there. And that was, in terms of like entertainment, that was probably the best one. It was a lot for Lower Decks too, because that was the first time really you could see the actors talking about the show. What else? Oh, October 15th is when Discovery comes back. So there's going to be 10 weeks of Lower Decks, and that ends on October 8th, and then October 15th, the week after that comes Discovery. So That will go on till January 7th. And we don't know that the one thing that it pains me to say is we don't yet know when there will be international distribution. There was an explanation that came out that I missed, actually, when we talked about it on the Patreon from Mike Mahan. And supposedly, because of COVID, they changed the schedule all around. So, and this was actually mentioned on the Ready Room. So originally, I believe Discovery was going to come out first and then Lower Decks. But because of COVID, they switched it around, and actually Lower Decks is coming out 2 months ahead of when it was supposed to. They've been working frantically trying to get everything done for Lower Decks. So that's the reason, the main reason why we don't have an agreement for the international distribution of Lower Decks. So it's worth saying, you international guys know this. You know, I really feel badly about it for you guys, but it is, unfortunately, it is true that they have not worked that out yet. It's probably because both Netflix and Amazon, you know, want it. I know that also CBS All Access has announced that they are going international. There is an international service in some countries and they're expanding it. So that may come into play. I don't know. So I'm hoping that before the season's out, you guys internationally will get to see the show and maybe you'll get a dump of all the episodes at once up until that point, or at the end of the season, you'll get all the episodes and you'll be able to watch them, you know, all 10. So, but that's all we know. Okay. So that's it for this episode. So Kyle, why don't you tell people how to contact us?
All right. To submit your theories and feedback, go to talkthroughmedia.com/feedback, where you can submit text or audio. You can call 216-232-6146. Leave a voicemail there. We also have the email address that we put up for this, lowerdecks@talkthroughmedia.com. You can send your feedback, anything, you know, specifically for this show to there, and we'll get it. And post in our designated episode thread in our Facebook group, and that is facebook.com/groups/StarTrekTTMpodcasts, which is where everything is, right?
Yeah. So. It's worth saying, if you have another email address for us, you know, whether it's Talk Through Media or even have our old Gmail, we'll get it. So,
yeah,
we'll get
everything.
But we made a dedicated Lower Decks email address today. Yep. As far as the deadline for next week, this is usually where we say it. Next week, we're going to be late because we have to delay it. Kyle's got some stuff going on. And
going to be out of town.
Yeah. So we're going to actually delay recording until Monday evening, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So you're going to get, instead of it being like Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central, you will have until Monday. 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 Central. So,
and then we'll be back to the normal,
yeah,
like, yeah, Fridays, but
yeah,
just so
you guys know, next week will be late. Don't worry about it. You'll get it. But worth saying that coming especially as the season goes on, we may need some guest hosts to come in because we're going to run into a collision of many episodes at once that I'm not looking forward to. Because on the Walking Dead side, it looks like both World Beyond and the Fear of the Walking Dead are going to be airing at the same time. So we're going to have Discovery, Fear of the Walking Dead, and World Beyond at the same time. Three podcasts at the same time with two hosts. Actually, well, no, Ruthie will be on Discovery, but basically, I'll be
right,
on all three podcasts, which I'm not going to do because that will kill me. I will be dead. So
we are reaching out to you if you want to help us on The Walking Dead, World Beyond, Fear, or all of them.
Yeah, or even Discovery. Let us help know. And, you know, if we need to call on you, we'll, you know, just so. But this is especially true for the Walking Dead side of things. Our Twitter is Star Trek TTM, as is our Instagram. And I mentioned earlier, I didn't set up a specific TikTok, partially because we don't know if TikTok is going to exist in 40-something days. But I'm becoming like the Star Trek guy on TikTok. So just find me on there. It's Brian Meloche, BRIANMELOCHE. The Meloches wear galoshes. If you can't remember it, that's how to say it, but that's not how to spell it. A great way you can support us, though, is by Twitter and Facebook. I should also mention as well, Instagram, also Brian Meloche. I post a lot of Star Trek stuff on there. Like, it's crazy. I have over 6,000 followers on TikTok. I have 170 on Instagram. So help me out, you know, follow me. I'll follow you back. Anyway, so we also have our Facebook page for the network. It's at facebook.com/talkthroughmedia. And that's where we post when the episodes come out. And, you know, you can share them when they come out and, you know, to everyone. And the stuff within the Facebook group, that's just within the Facebook group. It's like, you know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts or the podcast client of your choice. While you're there, give us a rating or review. And you can also do that on whatever podcast client you have, supports reviews or, you know, ratings. Like a lot of them are now incorporating a service called Podchaser. So if your podcast client, like player.fm, it has Podchaser in it, please leave us a review in there. And of course, our Patreon group, which is at patreon.com/Brian and Ruthie, which seems somewhat not appropriate anymore.
anyway. Oh, whatever. It
doesn't matter.
It's just the sports.
Just
the show.
100% of what we get for our Patreons go towards the network. So it covers our costs. It covers the things that we need to make the show and domains and hosting and all of that stuff. It helps to cover that. So anyway, it doesn't really go to anything to us. It goes straight into that. But we would like to thank our Patreon supporters, Clint McCallum, Lawrence Todd, James Robbins, Fred Petrie. Hey. this guy, Kyle McAdams. Yes, I don't know if you still need to support us since you're the guy hosting the show.
But, right. Well, whatever.
Kim, I know I'm getting your name wrong. I know it's not Vogel. And I think you told me it was like Voigley. Anyway, tell me before next week how to say your last name. And I promise I'm going to get it right from now on. Brian Shiro, Christoph Lechleitner, Lee Radke, Aaron Mays, Michael Carrier, Stephen Chambers, Kevin Lyle, and Jeff Gentry. And just like housekeeping, if you're listening to this episode on the Star Trek Picard cast and you are going to be watching Discovery, I would suggest that you change over, unsubscribe to us on the Picard cast, and or you don't have to, but we'll get more downloads that way. But subscribe to us on the Star Trek Discovery podcast, which we may rename at some point. But basically, if you're on the Star Trek Discovery podcast, you will get Picard, you'll get Discovery, you'll get Picard, and you'll get Lower Decks, all of them. So that would be the one if you want to hear all of the Star Trek podcasts that, you know, that we do. The new Star Trek. That's the one to subscribe to. Or you can also subscribe to the Talk Through Media all-inclusive feed, which not only gets that, but also gets The Walking Dead and Rebinge DS9. And if we ever get Let's Talk Through back going, which is on a permanent hiatus right now after one episode, that'll be on there as well. And any new podcasts that we do. Also, we're saying Kyle and I will be recording an episode of The Walking Dead Talk Through probably next week. So you'll hear that maybe next week, maybe a week after. because we've got some stuff to talk about on that side of the thing. That both those shows and the Walking Dead season finale is coming up in October, so we just want to get ahead of that. And so the next episode is season one, episode two, titled Envoys, and we don't know anything about who's written it, who's directed it, or a description, but that's it. So until next time, I'm Brian.
And I'm Kyle.
Peace and long life.
Live long and prosper.